Portions of this program may be
pre-recorded. Do you ever have the feeling that your job is more than just a paycheck?
The job that you hold, the people that you work with, none of that is by chance.
You clock in and you clock out, but what goes on in between is more important than you might think.
Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be.
Your 9 to 5 or 5 to 9, your on to off twos, your doubles, overtimes, double times, part times, your job all the time matters every minute of every day.
The people that you work with, they need to meet Jesus, and you may be their only chance. Are you ready to work for Him?
Welcome to I Work for Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation to Christ followers working in cities all over the United States, you've tuned into the voice of the faith and work movement. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him. We are your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
We are. And listeners, you know, it's fun because today we are going to have a little bit of a legal connection. And I was just thinking about that. You know, Jim, it's like whenever you're with somebody who knows law and everything, it's like you're like, I hope I do everything right, you know. That so I'm trusting that we've got everything, all of our ducks in a row today, and we're ready for it. No, I know we are. But listeners, if you have the opportunity to, if you're on Instagram, I just want to encourage you to go to find us out there and follow us. And that is a place that you can connect with us and see some of the stories that we are sharing and social media. So I Work for Him.
Yeah, search. I mean, anywhere they're looking for anything about us, it's always I Work, the number four, Him.
That's
whether
correct.
It's social media or it's I Work, the number four, Him.com.
Yes.
I mean, out there, there's so many resources out there. So we're going to dig deep into the judiciary today. And we're in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and this show made possible through a partnership with I Work for Him, Don Hoover from BCN right here in Lancaster County, and the Pocket Testament League, all of these coming together to help provide phenomenal interviews for you out of this incredible area of the country. And we brought in Don Hoover today just to introduce our upcoming guest. Don Hoover, welcome back to I Work for Him.
Hey, it's great to be here. Welcome back to Lancaster.
We're so excited to be here. Tell us about who you brought for us today.
Jeff Conrad is one of a kind. No lack of enthusiasm, just about as vivacious and about as zealous and about as straightforward as you're going to find. Just an awesome heart for God and placed strategically here in the judicial system. You're in for a real treat with today's broadcast.
All right. So, but you've lived here all your life. I mean, how many Jesus-following judges do you think there are on the judiciary here in Lancaster County?
I'm aware of one.
All right, so there's a significant, I mean, so do you see room for improvement on that in the judiciary here in Lancaster County?
Of course. Pretty much like there is in any other area of service. Definitely.
I mean, it's one of those things that we're just trying to encourage people to get involved in government in whatever area they can. Obviously, to be a judge, you're going to have a law degree, so there's certain requirements. But Don, you interact with so many people. How big is the need for people to get involved in local governments, both city and county and state?
It's absolutely huge. One of the stories that Jeff tells is his wrestle with a situation there, and he calls it my dividing babies, with the biblical reference, of course, which he may reference in today's interview. But he really does get into gut-wrenching situations where he's on his knees in his chamber praying, pleading with the Lord for wisdom to know how to deal with the various situations.
Well, Don Hoover, once again, we're grateful that you've brought into our midst Judge Jeff Conrad. We'll be right back with I Work for Him as we talk with Judge Jeff Conrad about his role in the judiciary. Wow. Yes, and I'll get my lips fixed before we get back. Hang on.
Hi there, Michael Miracle here, and we'll be right back with Jim and Martha and more of the I Work for Him radio show in just 90 seconds. But first, we want to take this time and thank a few of our sponsors for supporting this show. Today, we want to thank Brian Green and Helping Hands Charities for their support. Helping Hands helps your employees within your organization by encouraging generosity to each other. Helping Hands is a charitable giving expert, and they're online, hhcharitable.org. Also, many of you in our listening audience live in communities with shared utility costs. Your neighbor may run their water all day long, like me, or You're a water miser, but you both get charged the same amount. Bill Wolf and his team at Think Utility Services are specialists in helping multifamily communities reduce utility costs by installing individual meters, saving water and saving money. Think Utility Services is online at thinkutilityservices.com. And finally today, we want to thank Skip Stanton and his entire team at Aqua Plumbing and Air. Aqua Plumbing and Air, located just south of Tampa Bay, is a company dedicated to taking great care of their customers for AC, plumbing, and electrical repair. Aqua is a supreme example for all of us on how to run an AC mechanical company glorifying God with a great service reputation. They're online at aquaplumbing.com. And remember, you can always support I Work For Him and our efforts to transform the workplace of every Christian into a mission field online. iworkforhim.com/donate. Now, let's get back to I Work For Him.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we broadcast to you from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We're so excited to be here. An absolutely gorgeous day today where the wind is blowing. It's about 35 degrees. It's fantastic. I just love it. Oh, long pants, long sleeves, no sweat.
You do love this. That's why we're here.
That's right.
As long as I get some Wilbur Bud chocolate, we're good.
You betcha.
We're going to get some Wilbur Buds before the day is over today, for sure. Absolutely. Okay, listen, we don't very often get to talk about the influence of Jesus followers in the government sector. I don't know why. I'd love to highlight more of these stories. So if you know one, please tell us about it. It's so important for all of us to realize we are needed in all areas of influence in this country, and we're desperately needed to represent the way, the truth, and the life while working in a government position, whether it's at the city level, the county level, the state, or the national level. Jesus followers are needed in every branch of government, civil service, military service, or politicians. Yes, we even need Jesus following politicians. I'm not going to comment any further than that. All right. Be proud of your service and encourage others to join you if you work in the government right now. So today we take a turn into the judiciary. The rule of law in this land is critical. The judicial branch of government was designed after the biblical example that Moses laid out to enforce the laws that the legislative branch wrote and the executive branch signed into law. Jeff Conrad was an attorney. Don't hold that against him. And decided he would like to serve the Lord by serving in the judicial branch of the county government of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Jeff brings the truth with him every day and a desire to be a light in the potentially darkest times of people's lives. Jeff Conrad, welcome back to I Work For Him.
Good morning, you two. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, we'll see whether you still feel that way when we're done, but okay.
Work me over. It's okay.
All right. Jeff, how did you know you had a call in your life to be an attorney, other than your mother said that you're always arguing with her?
Well, I served in the United States Marine Corps, and I always loved the opportunity to think that you could fight for your government and, you know, fight for what's right. I had an injury in the Marine Corps and had to change directions. And someone told me I was a good arguer, thought it might be a good idea to go to law school at one point. And now I get a chance to fight for justice, in courtrooms. And so it isn't about picking up a gun. It's about picking up a law book. It's about picking up the rules and regulations that people have to follow and trying to make them, work in people's lives.
So you were an attorney. You were arguing in front of judges. What made you decide to flip that on its head and become a judge?
Well, I like to think that people can be treated properly. When you walk in front of a judge, you want to be treated fairly. And it was nothing worse than coming before a judge that was ugly to you, that treated you poorly or treated the litigants poorly. And I thought...
bias. We're hearing a lot of that from attorneys.
You bet. And so often. And I thought, you can be a judge and still be a good person and be good to the litigants that are coming before you. And that just talks about having a good heart. And I thought, well, I'm sure I can do that. And as it turns out, you can be a judge and still be a good person.
What kind of cases you're seeing?
Well, for me, they have me assigned to the family law division, mm-hmm. and I practice criminal law, and now I'm over doing family law. And I actually really enjoy doing family law simply because when you're doing criminal law as a judge, all you're doing is calling balls and strikes. You know, what piece mm-hmm. of evidence should come in, which one should not. When you're over in family law, you're the judge and you're the jury. I'm the one that actually hears the facts, but then I also make the decision at the end of the case. And so I get a chance to be I can get into the case itself, get into the lives of the people to come before me in custody cases, mm-hmm. in support for people that aren't paying support for their children, and also in protection from abuse cases, which I get often will be doing all day today.
Wow. Is that something to look forward to? Or that's tough. I mean, how do you deal? I mean, abusing a child, how do you deal with the anger inside, the righteous anger? I mean, how do you deal with that as a judge? Because that's got to be tough.
Righteous anger is something I've had to deal with all along. When I was doing, when I was a prosecutor prosecuting child abuse cases, I had to really check myself. I had accountability partners, even in my church with my pastor, mm-hmm. when they would see me getting ugly, because sometimes it can affect you. So having an accountability partner to say, hey, you know, Jeff, you look like you're getting really stressed out. You need to drop some of this. Because when you do watch children being abused day in and day out or see the results thereof, it can have a psychological effect on you. And so for me, dropping that at the feet of Jesus and asking him to take that weight off my shoulders, putting on the armor of Christ and getting back in there to do what I had to do the next day was very important in order to keep on being a good family man, a husband, and a daddy to two little girls. So,
I think the twisting factor would be so hard to deal with. But we do have that unfair advantage. We have the Holy Spirit that can heal, that can bring wholeness. But you get exposed to a lot of brokenness in society all day long,
all
5 day
long.
Days a week.
Right.
How does having speak to everybody that's out there, that we have a lot of attorneys. We've even had criminal defense attorneys actually on the show. Did you know Jesus was a criminal defense attorney?
Yeah, I got that.
He was.
I'm with you. Yeah.
He was. Okay, so how do you deal with the brokenness? How do you try to bring wholeness to the court where there's so much brokenness before you?
We talked about having an unfair advantage earlier today, and I think that we as Christians do have an unfair advantage in that when I'm walking in there, I have two broken people standing before me, and I have to recognize that I too am a broken person. I've made mistakes. I think humbling myself sometimes to the litigants and saying to a mom or a dad, look, you're now transitioning from a time period when you were raising little ones, now you're raising teenagers, and we've all had challenges in trying to raise teenagers. So trying to identify with them, and then literally in the back of my mind, as I'm sitting there before these folks, I'm praying to God that the words that come out of my mouth have some kind of effect on the listeners that are sitting there before me. Mm-hmm. And I have so much success at it simply because they're not my words. I'm praying, God, please, whatever I'm saying, it might touch these hearts. And so many times it does. And folks come to me afterwards and say, hey, thank you for what you did because you caused us to wake up and see what we were doing and stop the behavior. So.
Wow, that makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
It does, and sometimes you have a self-righteous individual that'll be sitting in front of you. I've had a pastor who's sitting there, and he's looking at me like, well, I've done nothing wrong, and to look him right square in the face and say, sir, you know that book that you say you believe in? Mm. Now, I can't invoke the Bible from the bench, but I can certainly, if he brought it up, I can certainly talk about it. Uh-huh. You mentioned about that book. Doesn't that book have something to do with forgiveness? How about the lady that you're now divorcing? Can you forgive her? Can you move on from that? How many times did Jesus say to sin, you know, to forgive? Oh, I love that one. Anyhow, the guy looked down at his. He said to me, he said, well, Your Honor, I guess you're right. I think I need to read that a little more closely.
Well, I guess.
Wow.
I guess, right.
You are a dream just to think about because of the fact that I think a lot of people don't even see people in your role as a person. I'm just, you know,
yeah,
it's like somebody who has to make a decision. But you're saying, it really does affect you. And I love the fact that you're praying about it and asking the Lord to give you guidance.
It's so much fun because you can't bring the Bible into the courtroom and thump somebody over the head with it. But I can certainly be praying in the back of my mind,
right,
asking God for the right things to do in this situation, in every situation.
Yeah.
And then just to see him reveal himself and make it happen. I'll be listening to a case all day long and wondering all day long, Lord, what do I do with this? Who do I believe? Because they're both lying to me. Everyone's lying to me. Mm. How do I sift through this?
Nobody ever tells the truth.
Nobody tells the truth. It's terrible.
Come on.
We do have the Bible in the courtroom. They put their hand on it and swear to it at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then do they follow that? No. They start lying moments afterwards. And it's very hard to sift through those lies.
Come on, you just said nobody ever tells the truth. Are you telling me that never in court do people just say, I screwed up, I'm the one that's wrong? you don't ever see people honest?
Have I seen that? I have seen that occasionally, but that is the exception, not the rule, I can assure you. But the other thing is to recognize that we're all sinners, that we're all liars. Mm-hmm. And so I have to sit there and not be self-righteous. When I do hear that individual lying, okay, maybe there's a reason why they're lying. Maybe it's so awful in their lives what they've done, they can't even face that. Mm-hmm. So it's understanding as a judge that people will do that, and then sifting through that to find out maybe sometimes the motivations, or alternatively, what's the lie, what's the truth behind that lie, and why would someone lie to me?
And that's the advantage you have as a judge, because you can ask the Holy Spirit, can you just point out the truth here? Can you sift through that? Can you peel back the layers of the onion and show me the truth?
And literally, as the day is going on, and sometimes I start to get anxious as the day starts to come to a close, as I'm listening to the testimony, I'm like, please, God, reveal this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And almost always he does. But then there's that exceptional case when he doesn't give it to me. And so I have to let the day come to an end, go home, pray about it, sleep on it, and let him continue to work my heart till I see it. And that happens as well.
So you could tell the litigants, hey, pound sand, I'm going home, I'm going to think about this because I don't have an answer yet.
And literally I have done that because I don't know. And I can't force God. You know, when I first got saved, I thought I could force the Lord to do things. I learned very quickly that ain't how this works. It's about me waiting on Him to reveal Himself.
The persistent widow thing is often over, mistaught. Now that you're the judge, you might understand it better, but...
And that is, that persistent widow, though, I do get that. When you do have that litigant that keeps coming in here and begging for help, you want to help that person. I recognize that all the better now, so...
I love the fact that, we have been continuing this conversation about this unfair advantage that really is it's incredibly fair because it comes from our Heavenly Father, but it is not something that everybody has access to. So how do you, as a judge, how are you see yourself getting to bring the kingdom of God to earth?
Well, I think it starts when the elevator opens. When I come out of the parking garage and the elevator opens and all the sheriff deputies are standing right there. I've already been to the gym. I've already been on my knees that morning asking God to help me be a good judge. And so when those elevator doors come open and there is everybody, hey, good morning, judge, good morning, judge, mm-hmm. I get a chance to fire back at them. Hey, good morning, what's going on in your life? How are things going with you? You know, if I knew of something personal happening in their lives, I can talk to them about that. And that carries right on down the hallway as I bump into all the bailiffs and then put my robe on and go out on the bench and greet everybody when I step onto the bench and take the bench. So again, I cannot say, read such and such scripture and it'll help you today. Mm-hmm. But I can certainly take that scripture, put it on my heart, and then pour it all over everybody as I come across them.
Do you ever wear shorts under your robe?
Never.
Okay. Always wanted to ask that question.
Something you've always wanted to ask a judge, Jim.
Sorry, Jim, no.
Sorry.
Of course, it's not Florida. You know, if it was Florida, you might be a little hotter.
No, they'd have the air conditioning 40 below in the courtroom.
That's true.
Recently, a judge got significant notice in the news for stepping off the stand after ruling and giving someone that she had just sentenced really to prison, she gave her a Bible and a hug and telling her to forgive herself and that her life mattered and it wasn't over. What'd you think about that story?
Okay. Now, that story to me is wonderful and scary, both in the same. And the reason why is this. Again, we want to figure out ways to bring Christ into that courtroom. And every situation is different. So I cannot judge that particular judge. Maybe that was the exact right thing to do in that situation because that particular individual heading off to prison needed that. But you know, the converse side of that is that there's somebody there who has been victimized. And you have to be very careful that you don't show too much favoritism to the perpetrator of the crime, because there's a whole victim's family sitting over there. And what does that say to the victim's family when we're being all snuggly with the defendant? Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting balance that you have to take in every single situation. And that particular judge on that day, I hope that what she did was the right thing.
Well, she had just followed up because the victim's family actually forgave the defendant.
Right. And it's beautiful. Again, that one worked out perfectly.
Amazing
it was
an amazing portrayal of Christ.
That the judge was able to recognize that about everybody and then infuse that. I loved it. I mean, it was great for me personally. I really enjoyed it. I have to be careful for me sometimes to recognize that there is the other side. And I have to watch out not to show favoritism and make sure I treat them both equally. But when you do see those situations where both parties are trying to say that they have a focus on Christ, great. Well, this is the opportunity then to go ahead and slide it in because no one's going to be upset and everybody's going to be okay because they both accept that as authority.
And what's funny, I just thought about this now, that judge who gave that defendant a Bible, she couldn't take it into prison with her anyway. She wasn't taking that with her. You can't bring a Bible into prison.
You can get Bibles into prison, though.
But you can get them into prison, but you can't bring it with
you.
No,
you can't bring it with you.
Because I've got a friend in prison. You had to send it to
him. Yeah, we have to send him to him. That's right.
All right, and when we come back, I really want to talk about the biggest reason that our listeners who are attorneys I want to talk about how do more Christ followers get on the bench? How do we get more Christ followers involved in government service to bring truth into the position within the government? Can we talk about that when we come back?
You betcha.
All right, you're listening to I Work For Him as we broadcast from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we talk with Judge Jeff Conrad. Not your typical judge. You can hear he's got a sense of humor, but he also wants to be a portrayer of truth behind the bench. If you ever want to get in trouble, this is a place to be. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I guess. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back with more from Jeff Conrad.
You're listening to the I Work For Him radio show. Jim and Martha will be right back in just a moment. Right now, let's thank our show sponsors. Luke Andrews, founding advisor partner with Inspire Advisors, an investment advisory firm dedicated to biblically responsible investing. Luke helps clients steward their God-given finances with time-tested, faith-based principles. Luke's goal is to connect your biblical values with your investments. Online at iinvestforhim.com. That's iinvestforhim.com. Todd Hopkins at Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services offers faith-based franchise opportunities throughout the country. Todd and his team make it possible for entrepreneurs like you to own a commercial cleaning franchise and run it in a way that honors God, honors your employees, and honors your customers. Go to OfficePrideFranchise.com. That's OfficePrideFranchise.com. Finally, today we want to thank Tony Dale and his team at Sedera Health and the Caris Group. Sedera Health is a corporate healthcare sharing community that's biblically designed to help small to medium-sized businesses offer high-end, affordable healthcare without the corporate healthcare cost. To learn more, visit Sedera online at Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com. You, too, can become a corporate sponsor of the I Work For Him radio show. Visit us online at iworkforhim.com. Once again, here's Martha and Jim.
Welcome back to I Work For Him as we talk with Judge Jeff Conrad from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And Jeff, I love the stories, so I want to hear some more stories. But you are, so describe your judgeship, like you're what position?
So on our Court of Common Pleas, we handle, it's a trial court. Okay. So some of the fellows, some of my colleagues, they have criminal court, some have civil court, some are handling dependency issues, some are handling orphans court, and then, of course, I have family court, which is all the custody matters where folks are fighting over their children and fighting over how much support they're going to pay for their children, protection from abuse, those kind of situations, divorce.
Is that a busy job?
It's constant. I mean, there's so much brokenness in our world, and so many people are laying hands on each other inappropriately. They are inappropriately touching each other. They're inappropriately hitting each other.
In front of you in the courtroom?
No, that's what got them in.
That's right. No, I have deputies for that, so help me out in the courtroom. But yeah, it's a shame when you see how many folks are so ugly to one another. Or the other thing is using social media to be ugly to one another. I can't tell you how many times I have to counsel people, and they're so upset over what the other person said about them online. And I said, you do realize you can just hit the off button and it disappears. It's into the ether. You know, you don't have to do this. Just turn the thing off. But so many people are addicted to that machine that they feel compelled to keep going back to that website where ugly things are being said about them. Well, just don't go there, you know?
That's a good point. So what would you say? Obviously, we need more people with your perspective in your position. How can you encourage our listeners that maybe have never even thought about this, but they may be qualified? What does it take to be qualified, and how can you encourage them to?
In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to run for judge on the Court of Common Pleas here, we have a minor judiciary, so anybody can run for what's called a district magisterial position, district magisterial judge. So any layperson, as long as you're 18 years old and a registered voter, can run for that. That handles traffic court and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. To run for the Court of Common Pleas, which is our trial court in Pennsylvania, you have to have, of course, a law degree, and then you have to be a registered voter. That's really all the more it takes. Certainly having trial experience is very important, and that's what you see mostly here in Pennsylvania. And then to head up to the Superior Court or the Commonwealth Court, again, just a law degree, and even for our Supreme Court, you have to have a law degree, and that's all it really takes. And then a commitment to justice and a commitment to fair play.
But you had to commit to a decade. You got elected for a decade to this position.
Correct, yes.
That was a big, I mean, you walked away from your law practice for a decade.
Yeah, I'm still finding out ways to infuse Christ into the work that I'm doing now, because as a practitioner, I would say this to all practitioners, there is a way to bring Jesus into the workplace. As a prosecutor, again, I was praying for justice. I was praying for the police officers to find the evidence that was going to be necessary for us to put together and the witnesses necessary, and then convincing witnesses to be willing to testify in order to bring justice. As a defense attorney, I could be more interactive with the litigants, those defendants who have been charged with a crime, and trying to find out why they did this and get into their hearts and try to, there in the private sector, to be able to talk with them about Jesus openly. They were at their lowest point when they're coming into me for a crime they committed. And I would say this to the practitioners that are out there, don't be afraid. if you are a lover of Jesus Christ, don't be afraid to talk to that person in their darkest hour about Jesus, because you can take care of their legal needs, but you can also deal with those spiritual needs, because that's ever so important. And there's no better time to talk with somebody when they're facing down the ugliness of going to jail or losing a job or, you know, dissolving a family. That's the time when they really need Jesus. We all need it all the time, yeah. but their hearts are receptive at that time. And I could go on with the story after story about men that came to know Christ because they're about to go to jail. And some of them might try to find Jesus just because to look good. Others needed Jesus and did find Jesus. So it's awesome.
So being involved in the government world, some people would say never, and some people would say, well, okay, maybe. So talk to the listeners about, you got 15 seconds. Encourage people to get involved.
Well, you can't be afraid. That's one thing. There's so many ways that we can bring Jesus to work with us, and one should not be afraid of that. There's nothing wrong with saying to somebody, I'm praying for you. I care about you. What can I pray for you about? Nothing wrong with
that. Is there room for more Christians in government?
You betcha. It's a wide open field.
Wide open. I love that. Desperate need. Judge Jeff Conrad, thank you so much for being on I Work For Him today. I know it's just a little bit of time, but we're grateful that you shared a little bit of that story, and we're hoping that many, many thousands will follow in your footsteps.
I hope so, Jeff, too. You betcha.
You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work.
This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Congress deadlocked on the relief package for America.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. What a time to have gridlock in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is hard for me to believe. They worked through the weekend trying to come up with a package which would be part of the staging of relief for companies, small businesses, American citizens to weather through this virus attack that we have, which I think is what you have to call it now. And at the same time that they're trying to weather through it and we're trying to get through it, the country, the Senate can't get there. Now, as someone that spent 3 weeks on the floor of the Senate, oftentimes till way past midnight, I don't understand. It must be part of the culture. I'm going to ask Stan Bennett this, Logan. Is it just part of the culture? This is the way they do it, Stan? Because it is, it's mind-boggling.
I, you know, the answer to that, Jay, is yes, and it's got to change. I mean, we said on the broadcast last week that that was not going to be the case this time. It looked like there was going to be some bipartisanship. It looked like the negotiations were going well. And, Jay, I will just tell you, there were smaller groups of Republicans and Democrats that put together various parts of this package, and it went to the floor of the Senate last night, again, with Republican and Democrat buy-in. And then that partisanship fell apart. Jay, we can get into some of the details, but let me just say this for now. I think part of the reason that happened was because Speaker Pelosi, of all people, interjected herself into the Senate business. You don't want to point fingers at this time. I hope it will get done by the end of the day. But just to simply answer your question, yes, unfortunately, I think the culture of Washington, D.C. won out last night. That needs to be fixed today.
We are having some issues on Facebook. So if you're watching live, know the stream's a little bit different. We're on, you know, very specific camera shots and angles, so just deal with us. It was this or not be live, and we decided it was better to be live for all of you. We are taking your calls right now at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be on the air, this is the time to do it. Give us a call. We'll do our best to get to you today. Thanks for watching again online. Sorry for some of the technical issues.
All right, so let me take it a step further here, and I think we have to get into some particulars because there's the Supreme Court issued opinions today, for instance, not any cases that we were involved in or following, but let me tell you what they did not do. They did not meet as the court. Now, that is traditionally how they've always done it. They met, they sit at the bench. You've been there, Logan. They read little excerpts of the opinion. Today, they decided not to do that. They just issued the opinions online, which is good that they're kind of getting into the technology of the 21st century here.
Sure.
But they were forced to do it, obviously, with the age of the justices. It looks like, and we know that I was supposed to be arguing next week at the Supreme Court. That's off. No question. The April calendar, I'm sure they'll issue an order in the next day or two. That's going to be off. And technically, that is the end of the argument term. Now, they may hold arguments in the summer or maybe early fall. On some of these cases, we don't know. But obviously, things are in a state of flux. You also have the economics of this, and the stock market dropped at one point, it was down 1,000 points. Now it's down about 700 as we're talking to you if you're watching us live. But then the lack of getting this bill through is really hurting us.
It really is. And look, Secretary Mnuchin, Leader McConnell, and Leader Schumer were very, very close to an agreement, Jay. And I would tell you they're still close right now. All appearances are that Secretary Mnuchin just left Leader Schumer's office and that they're very close to an agreement. But here's the problem. I mean, over in the House of Representatives right now, Speaker Pelosi just introduced a brand new bill that nobody's read. It's more than 1,100 pages long. Jay, what we've got to do is get the bill that is on the 5-yard line into the end zone, not start over on a 1,000-page bill that everybody has to reread.
No, I mean, I saw that. I think it was 1,164 pages.
Now, look. And you see people from both sides who are complaining and are angry about this.
They should
be. This
is
not the time.
No, this is not the time to be dealing with politics under any circumstance. But we are. All right, folks, let me encourage you. Support the work of the ACLJ. And let me ask another special request. As you can imagine, it's a little bit difficult right now processing actual mail because we have a minimal staffs are in. Some offices, no staffs in at all. Online contributions are automatically processed.
Yeah, so please go ahead. If you want to give to the ACLJ, we support you doing that online right now at aclj.org. It supports the work here. It's also still our March matching challenge, so go to aclj.org. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your calls and comments, and we did want to specifically say, as we said, we were headed to the break. Right now, if you are wanting to give, and we obviously encourage you to give here to the American Center for Law and Justice, to the ACLJ, right now, if you have the opportunity to, I know a lot of you still use the mail, a lot of you still get our direct mail and send in checks and that kind of thing, and that's excellent. We appreciate it. But right now, with everything shutting down and having all the issues that are going on and limited staff, we encourage you to please just visit aclj.org. And donate that way. It's still a secure way to do it, and we appreciate it. Again, that's at aclj.org as we start to head towards the end of our matching challenge at the end of March.
Let me say something about that. And first of all, I appreciate everybody's continuing the support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. So we really appreciate that. But we are reducing our staffs in place. Now, I mean, obviously here at our media center we have, but even here it's minimal compared to what we usually would have. And same thing in our processing. So online contributions are automatically processed.
Right.
It's much easier. It's much more efficient. It's much, much more cost efficient for us as well. So any of you that are supporting the ACLJ, you may be getting letters from us. If you could go online and donate that way, it's just going to be a lot easier.
I mean, the goal would be inevitably, hopefully, to move to everything being online.
So that
would be an excellent way. If you are new to online giving, this is a great way to start.
ACLJ.org for that.
Yep.
You had on your broadcast...
Yes, it'll actually be on the air tomorrow morning.
Okay.
On
this is important. Logan has a show called Logan Seculo reprogrammed.
Reprogrammed. The Logan Seculo reprogrammed.
I want him to run it in our block every once in a while. He won't do it.
It's a bit more hard-edged. It airs on Florida Man Radio in Orlando, Florida, in the mornings, 5 to 6 a.m., America's prime time. And that's when we air. And tomorrow morning, we actually have already done it. We're going to actually post it online. I'll share it from your page. I don't think there's anything in that segment that's fine. That is with an interview with actually a mayor of Longwood, Florida, which is a suburb of Orlando. Right outside Orlando.
Very representative of like a regular community.
Yes, and he has a great story. You may have seen him on Fox and Friends the past week. Professional wrestler who turned politician. A really good guy, a good family guy who is doing something for his community. But we just wanted to talk to him and kind of break down how things were going. And really what they're doing is encouraging, still very much encouraging social distancing. The mayor or the governor has only started putting rules in Florida. What should be done, and you can hear that. We'll post it on here, but it'll be on our podcast feed tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. That is LoganSeculoReprogram.com, or you could just find it on however you podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and there's also a Facebook group you can be a part of. We'll have him on in the morning, like I said, but we'll post the video because we want to get the most up-to-date information out as quick as possible to those local communities that we air in. So we'll share that coming up hopefully in the next few hours. We'll have that available to anyone who cares to watch. But it's an interesting interview, even if you're not living in that Orlando area.
What was his assessment?
That at this point they're hunkered down. He was in his driveway, in his car doing the interview. He wanted to make sure people knew he wasn't driving around. He was just in his car doing it and trying to keep the city going and trying to keep the economy going. He had specific restaurants he was promoting. I think these little towns are going to have to start doing that too. Is they go about, he didn't just say, hey, go to McDonald's or whatever it is. It's fine. They have the drive-through service open. He was naming specific locally owned companies. And I think that's what you're going to need to start really looking at supporting as well as the other ones.
Yep.
But support your locally owned companies. They're the ones that are going to, they're not running at very high margins. So they're the people who you really need to support as well as you can while still being careful. And I think people have seen the last even few days, even the idea of going to get takeout, it started to throw people off a little. So we have to still, though, keep the economy going and encourage people to support.
Yeah, no, I mean, the president, you know, tweeted out this morning, he says, we got to make sure that the cure is not, you know, the cure is not more dangerous than the disease. And that's the balancing that they have to go through here. There was an interesting comment
on the screen right now if you're watching.
Yeah, there was an interesting, several interesting Facebook questions came in. I'm going to tackle one. Let's tackle one. Linda on Facebook said, can somebody please explain to me what these states' stay-at-home orders mean? So sometimes they're by the state governments.
Yeah, they're all a little different.
Sometimes it's county by county. So it's not always just what your state says. It's going to be what your county says. And in this particular case, and most of them, it means you can go to the grocery store, to the pharmacy. But other than that, really stay at home.
Yeah, I think there, and then some other like big box retailers, like Walmart, those, I think a few of those.
Yeah, so
not just exclusively grocery stores.
I mean, retail Walmart, stores that are open, you could,
But it is mainly the big box stores like your Walmart or your Costco. I think those are the ones that are staying open. Yep. Where you can essentially go get anything you need, plus your grocery stores. Other than that, a lot of them are putting in stay in place where you are.
And even there, some of the grocery stores are saying we only want a certain amount of people in the store at a particular time, they're letting seniors come in early. Those are things that make sense. So sometimes it's better for the county commissioner or the mayor rather than even the state.
Maybe
making a statewide matter.
Don't take your whole family. Designate a person, you know, to go out for you, to be the person in your family that is running these errands when absolutely necessary.
And or even go out to pick up. Limited hours, obviously. But this is a good question for Than, because I'm going to put Diane's and Teresa's together. Because Than, I think this is, and one is, how does Speaker Pelosi come up with an 1,164-page bill in a matter of days, and this bill should have already been in place? How can Congress continue to mess this up?
They're very good questions, Jay, and I know this is not a time for partisanship. I'm going to make my answer not partisan, but the answer, honestly, I'm looking through this bill on my phone as we speak. Jay, it's a laundry list of policy wishes from Speaker Pelosi. I mean, I'm getting reports from the Hill that it includes things like expanded collective bargaining, fuel emission standards, wind and solar tax credits. Jay, they're just not relevant to this debate. And let me go back to sort of more the common ground that maybe Teresa was asking about. The bill was in place. It was negotiated by Republicans and Democrats. There were small working groups in the Senate that put this bill forward, and that bill was on the 5-yard line. Jay, it's still on the five-yard line. I would suggest to Leader Schumer and Leader McConnell, they need to ignore Speaker Pelosi at this point. She is not a part of their chamber. They can come together with Secretary Mnuchin and get this over the line. And last thing I'll say here, Jay, we're about 15 minutes from the Senate trying again to get on this bill. It would not be final passage. They have to take three votes, but if they can get through those three votes, they will be on this bill that has bipartisan buy-in. Quite frankly, Jay, that's the only game in town. That's the bill that needs to move forward.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, why don't we try to take a phone call?
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Michelle, who's calling in Ohio. Michelle, welcome. You're on line one.
Hi, Michelle.
Thank you, guys. Hi, Jay. Sure. How are you guys?
Good.
Question is, understanding that on several occasions, Pelosi has usurped her own not knowing how to stay in her lane, how can she constitutionally interject herself this way into the Senate, and what can be done?
It's a great question, because this should be a Senate problem. But what she does when they have to reconcile the bills, she gets to redo it again. And as Than just said, rather than focusing on what's needed for the American people right now, and I don't really want partisan fights right now. I think this is destructive to our republic. We need to be focusing on answers. But that is a Michelle's question, Than, is an excellent one.
Yep. It's spot on. And quite frankly, she can't do it unless the members of both parties in the Senate let her, Jay. I mean, look, they can negotiate this on their own. They can send it to the House of Representatives for Speaker Pelosi's chamber to do as they wish. But she does not get to draft part of the Senate bill unless they let her. And, Jay, I would tell you this. Remember when she sent her bill over to the Senate? What did Senate Republicans tell Leader McConnell? They said, we don't want to pass this. He told them to be quiet and pass it anyway, because that's what happened. They passed her bill unchanged. They should not let her into this drafting process. And frankly, I think Leader Schumer is the one that needs to stand up in this moment. No, say the Senate's going to proceed without the Speaker of the House.
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of debate going on right now in Washington, and this is where the debate should be within the administration as to, do you continue the plan we've been on for, we're in week two of the 2-week plan, the 15-day, to try to flatten the curve. And then at the end of that, do you try to return to, at least in some industries, and some people that are less exposed to a more traditional work environment, with obviously with new safety measures in place. But, and you know, maybe you limit the gatherings, not that they're going to have events with 50 or 100,000 people, but do you say, okay, work establishments can come back online in 2 weeks? But I think all of this depends, folks, on how this looks in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, did it work? Did the social distancing side of this?
Now, the numbers this week are going to be...
Right, I think people have to understand it's going to take a minute, because these are people who already were exposed and they're just not getting the symptoms, and it's coming back around. So hopefully by the time that we're talking to you next week, things are starting to improve. I know my kids' school specifically, they said that all systems go, they're planning on still, they're at least going to try to get back to school in a couple of weeks. So I know that it may or may not happen. But I'm saying is they're all operating. They're all operating with the idea of, of let's try to get through these next couple of weeks and reevaluate where we are in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I understand why they're doing that, because you got to kind of plan this at 2 weeks out at a time. You shouldn't be planning this out 6 months in advance. But I also wouldn't build up false expectation that, in 2 weeks, we're going to have everybody back in school and things are going to be normal, unless they know something that neither the CDC or anybody else knows.
Well, I'm just saying, people trying to keep people going.
Plan. Yeah, right. And I think, look, they're doing... So even for...
It's a lot easier to plan for 2 weeks than it is for 2 months.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk more about it when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You know what's interesting? You know who's not stopped working? Planned Parenthood. With everything that's going on, the National Abortion Federation just released, don't worry, our clinics remain open. So if you need shoulder replacement, you can't get it. But if you want an abortion, evidently you can. And that's why we're fighting these issues out in legislatures, in courts, on the airwaves. We'll continue to bring it to you. Support the work of the ACLJ.
Absolutely. Support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org to donate. It's the perfect time to do it and start your online donation. Also, check out our new Seculo Community Facebook page. We'll be right back with more.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I do need to say, if you're watching online, some people have joined us over the last half hour. We are having some technical issues, so the reason you're only seeing one camera is because that's what we're having to deal with right now. So sit back and enjoy the show, but no, this isn't how it's going to be permanently. This is just what we have to deal with right now. So you get to see even a little bit more behind the scenes look.
Yeah, a lot of behind the scenes look.
Yeah, it's because we have to like reach over to grab a drink very coyly. It's nice. But welcome back to the show. We are going to be taking some phone calls and some comments.
Share it with your friends.
Maybe let them know we're having some technical issues. But you did want to talk about the situation going on because all services are closing down. Elective surgeries are going
Dentist
away.
Dentist offices are closed in most states.
Yeah, a lot of places.
California has a shutdown order.
I mean, let's just be honest. Most places in major metropolitan areas are on lockdown of some sort. And that isn't the case, though, for certain industries.
Well, in California, Planned Parenthood operates 7 affiliates in the state of California. Now, Gavin Newsom put in a very aggressive, and understandably why, stay-at-home order in California. And they also have about 100 facilities total in California. And all appear to be open at this time, despite the governor's order. Planned Parenthood sent out in Los Angeles said they are continuing to serve patients' reproductive health care needs. And they asserted that they talk about the procedures and includes abortion. So, then I think to myself that if you needed to go for a shoulder replacement, you're not getting it, which is understandable. I've got medical professionals in my family, our family, Logan and I do, and we understand, you know, what they're having to deal with right now, which is intense. But it's amazing to me that with all the seriousness of it, and it is serious, that these abortion providers, again, get a pass. It's always the abortion distortion factor. Every time.
Jay, it's just indicative of the primary paramount importance that the Washington, D.C. puts on this issue. And I would tell you, it's not just the issue that you outlined. One of the provisions that was causing the most angst inside this bill was the Democrats did not want, they wanted the small business loans that were available to also be available to NGOs who receive Medicaid reimbursement. What does that mean, Jay? Jay, that means Planned Parenthood. So the issue that came into play last week in Speaker Pelosi's bill, it's a little bit of a different spin on it, but it's essentially essentially the same one. Money that was intended to be loaned to small businesses who cannot meet payroll. The left in Washington, D.C., NARAL and Planned Parenthood, wanted that to be able to flow to the abortion industry and to their allies. So, Jay, even in a time like this, this seems to be the issue that just absolutely cannot be set aside for the greater good of those. Frankly, this 1,100-page bill, that's why we're pouring through it. I bet you there's probably more provisions in here that are just like it.
Okay, so keep the camera on Tham, because I'm trying to help you here. We're having a little bit of technical issues for those watching on Facebook. But keep it on Tham, because here's the question. That's exactly what we were just talking about. Tim on Facebook says, is Pelosi still trying to push abortion through this 1,164 pages? The answer is, I can't tell you that today, but Tham, we are working through that bill.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally got it pulled up on my phone right now and texting back and forth with the staffers who are going through it from the Hill level, because Jay, this was one of their objections to the Senate bill. The Senate bill said a couple of things. One, if money's going to go through Medicaid to reimburse healthcare professionals, all of the current restrictions, including the Hyde Amendment, are going to attach. And then a separate section of the bill, which gives out small business loans, it said that we have to make sure those go to actually small businesses who are trying to make payroll, and NGOs who get Medicaid money, Jay, they don't need this. It's not for that purpose, so of course they would be excluded, and that was one of the objections to the Senate bill. Now, does this 1,100-page bill that Speaker Pelosi introduced, does it change those provisions? My guess is that it probably does, but it was literally dropped just a few minutes ago while the Senate is trying to finish their bill. So that is one of the specific issues we're trying to get an answer to, but I can guess for you, Jay, with quite a bit of certainty, I think there's a very high probability that at least one of those provisions is in there.
I think a lot of people also may have a misunderstanding of how all of this works, where it's not like you're just, you know, skimming through and can do a little like find and type in abortion and it's going to come up. You know, it is very cleverly written. These are politicians who are writing things. So you do have to go through these 1,000 pages. This isn't something where, again, you just look, you know, Apple F and search, Hyde Amendment. You have to go really deep dive into what the language is actually saying, Tham. And I think that's important for people to know that it's not, because they hear about this, it's not as simple as it sounds.
So we're going to have our people, didn't mean to cut you off there, Tham. We're going to have our people that are working remotely go through this bill. Tham is working with folks on that are working remotely on Capitol Hill, too, staffers in the House and Senate, to find out what's in it. So the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, even during this time, moves forward, especially as we don't trust the process, because we've had experience on this, Tham. Obviously, we're concerned about it.
This is a very, very good point for a couple of reasons. One, I do not think you will find the words Planned Parenthood in there. I do not think you will find the word abortion in there. I do not think you will find the words Hyde Amendment in there. What you will see in the small business loan section are definitions that mean these spending are mandatory, which essentially means Hyde does not apply. The other thing, Logan, that I would tell you that makes, especially in this chaotic situation that we're in, the point that you're making so important, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but these bills get drafted with things scribbled into the margins that are the official legislative text as introduced. Now, did that happen in this bill? I don't know, but it happened 2 weeks ago in one of the bills that was introduced. So you literally have to go through every single page, and some of this stuff is not searchable. You have to look for things that are actually written into the margin. Eventually, Logan, of course, it would be filed into the legislative record,
sure,
but not today. It's just introduced as is.
Okay, well, maybe we need to start some changes here in general. You know, we're talking about the virtual voting and all the different options they have. Maybe one of them is you can't scribble in notes. You know, we live in a world in 2020.
Do track changes.
This is a bit insane. You know, this is where you do have to look at what's going on in D.C. and go, is it too archaic? The fact that they are running things like we aren't living in 2020, where a lot of these things can be handled. I mean, look, we have our whole facility here, our whole media center. A lot of people are working from home. And guess what? For you, the viewer, other than the technical issue we're having today, which would have happened either way, nothing seems like it's changed. Doesn't feel like there's anything different. No, for like the adult, you're still getting your emails every day. You're still getting everything that we write and content-wise. Maybe it's time for DC to also take a hard look at themselves and go, all right, maybe we shouldn't be scribbling in the margins. It's delaying and it's hurting people overall.
For instance, may I give it for instance?
It's fine.
Supreme Court can't have argument. Obviously, you can't have 800 people in the room.
Yeah.
Packed in like sardines, basically. The podium where I stand is, you know, I think 12 feet from where the justices are, and it's furthest, you know.
They have to turn you down, though, in that little thing. You're too loud.
I'm always too loud. Too loud. They always turn me down. But here's the thing. They can't sit in chambers. I don't really want to go there with people.
Right.
So either, how about this, which they won't do. have the, say we are going to conduct the argument over teleconferencing. The justices don't even have to leave their home, which probably a lot of them should not because of their age. Some of the advocates do, may I say. And we it's a one-hour argument.
Right.
Can we not get through an hour by saying, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, make your argument. Justice Ginsburg has a question.
You may have to adjust it a little just based on timing and delay and that kind of thing, but I think it can be done. I think this can be done for a lot of people and a lot of services that are just, again, living a little bit in the past, and you have to at a time like this.
Yeah, like the past, like 1868.
Yeah, but I understand there's tradition. I do understand the tradition of it, but there maybe is a time
for... Yeah, I had that during the impeachment, okay? It was like, well, the precedent is, I'm thinking, you mean the precedent from 1868?
Yeah.
It's things are a little different now. Can I do this? Ask you folks to give us a helping hand here in this way. You're being very generous with your support of the ACLJ, for which we thank you. A lot of you mail in your gifts. Right now, opening those is not an easy task. It's taking time, and it may be that we can continue to do that. We may be that we cannot. But I'll tell you what we know we can do. We can process online gifts. Of course, we're in a matching challenge. But Logan, let folks know online giving will really help us out, both cost effectiveness and the ability to get it right to use.
That's right. We can get it right to use. So if you do have the ability to do it, please do. If you're watching online, just go to aclj.org to give. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the...
Transforming the workplace of every Christian into a mission field. Here's what's coming up on I Work For Him. On the cutting edge of retirement, life looks easy and fun. Meet Ron and Jean Williamson on Tuesday on I Work For Him as they share about their new life in retirement following the sale of their business. Is retirement heaven or something else? Tune in to I Work For Him, the voice of the faith and work movement, every weekday at 4 p.m. at 91.7 The Truth and Talk 100.3 at 5 or anytime access at iWork.